the OTB Podcast Network.
Background One Association is the GPA's return to play event. It's been launched this week to mark the first season where all senior inter-county players are part of the one player association following that merger of the GPA and the WGPA back in December. And to mark that launch, I'm delighted to say we're joined on the line by Cork's Darren O'Sullivan. Good morning, Darren.
Hi, how are you?
Flying, thanks, and thanks a million for taking the call. You're on to talk to us. The GPA and WGPA marking the first season of all players being under the one umbrella. The merger happened obviously back in December, and you said at the time that there were pros and cons for it happening. What's the 5-monthly report?
Pros only. I'm going back on my word. Pros only. it's great to have the four codes, as you said, under the one umbrella. From our point of view, I think it was always the grass was always greener on the other side. You know, what are the lads getting and what are we missing out on? Whereas now we'll have to stop our complaining. We're all being treated the same, and the field, we've a level playing field to go off. So that's brilliant. I think the standards have been set by the GPA, and we're happy to be a part of it now going forward.
At a practical level, what does it mean? Is it a case that, like, you know, you can pull the agreements that the GPA have and you can go back to the LGFA or to the government and say, listen, we have what's happening here, we want equity, and that's the way it works? Or on a practical level, how is all that playing out?
Yeah, I suppose you do have a bit of pull there. As you said, this is what's happening on the men's side of things, so this is what should be happening from our side. Practically, I suppose it's helping our lives off the pitch. You know, we're basically full-time athletes. We have full-time jobs. We have relationships. So there's a lot going on outside of just sport. I think the GPA helps massively with that. I know a lot of girls have done online courses and webinars to do with, say, counselling, addiction, there's everything in terms of job seeking. So it's not just the on-field side of things. We can now avail of all of that. So I think it gives us life skills as well, and helps us, I suppose, make our lives easier and manage our time better so that we can be the best athletes we can on the field. So yeah, as you said, I do think we have a bit of rope, we can pull a bit of rope, I suppose, in terms of what the lads are getting, we can now fight for as well.
Yeah, with the in terms of the wider conversation with the Minister for Sport on a couple of weeks ago, and he was talking about the government's commitment to women in sport. It was a policy priority, he said at the time, and it was a big part of that discussion that morning. This week there was a Dáil committee to discuss what they were going to do post the 20 by 20 campaign. And the disparity in government grants, obviously for male and female GA players, was brought up at that committee. You've been speaking about that for years. There's been a lot of chat about it. Have you any sense that those things that you've just mentioned there, in conjunction with, I mean, stuff like that committee or the 20 by 20 campaign, that those gaps are going to be addressed properly, like that the chat is going to stop and proper action is going to be taken?
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I suppose we've come so far in that now where we're talking about it and people are aware of it. So that was a huge step for us. But we are at that crossroads now that we actually need this talking to come into action. So yeah, we are hugely pushing for the government to give us, I suppose, that grant for, and the main one is travel expenses. I'm not underplaying how far we've come in terms of food after training, showers, all that. We're ticking all those boxes, but the travel expenses is the gaping hole. I don't mind, I'm living in the city centre. I've 20, 25 minutes to go to training. We have girls coming down from Dublin, Galway, Limerick, Ornaterry and Clare O'Shea sitting to their car down in Alahees in Beara. And it's 2 hours and 40 minutes for those girls to come to training. So not only are they leaving work early, they're putting petrol into the car, and that costs money. And you shouldn't be out of pocket, I suppose, for representing your county at the highest level. And look, it is frustrating because we haven't done anything about it. The only thing we've probably done is increased awareness. But we are hugely urging for the government to back it. Just do it. Give us the grant, give us the money. And we really will benefit hugely from it. And it's not even for us. I'm 26, I suppose. I'm 9 years now playing intercounty football. I might never get travel expenses, but it's for the girls coming up that we can make ladies football more attractive and that we can make it equal and get equality and be the same as the men representing at the highest level. So I suppose it's just creating that culture and making it a better place for young girls coming up that they see what's ahead of them.
There's a sense, Darren, sometimes that the coverage has got better, at least in the last couple of years. So you've been in the intercounty game for 9 years. Has that actually manifested itself when it comes to equality, to the things that actually really matter on your day-to-day life as an intercounty player? Has the pace upped itself over the last couple of years from your own experience?
Yeah, definitely. And that's the good side of it, I suppose. Even coverage you were speaking about there. So our first league game now is on in Páirc Uí Chaoimh on Friday the 21st. It's being televised. So obviously a lot more people will see it, be talking about it. And I'm, as I said, 9 years on the panel, and this will be my second time ever playing in Páirc Uí Chaoimh. So like, that's kind of mad to think, but it is going in the right direction. The coverage and exposure ladies football is getting is huge. And just in regards of other things like food after training, nutritionist, team doctor, team physio, showers, gear, like there was none of that when I started back in 2012. So we've come huge way, and it is just about bridging that gap and not to be talking about it. We really need to do something about the, I know I keep bringing it back to travel expenses, but that is the one at the moment that is staring us.
Has anything improved on that front, Darren, since you, was it Finbar's 2 years ago you were chatting to us about it? Has anything improved on that front since?
No, I think Mayo Ladies Football got a sponsorship that year for travel expenses. But no, like last year now, we were travelling by ourselves to intercounty games. So we travelled to Parnell Park, to Crow Park, all around the country. You were in a car by yourself. I was lucky enough, I could go with my sister, Kira, but other girls were in the car by themselves. And our county board did cover some of that expense. But in terms of the grand scheme of things, going to training 3 nights a week, no. There's been no progress or improvement on that front, which I suppose is disappointing to see.
It's desperate, isn't it? Like, looking at some of the quotes from Gemma Bagley from that meeting during the week, and she was talking about that actually the funding from the government per head, because of so many more players playing the game now than from where it was even 15 years ago, is down significantly. Like, it's just incredible. And it's really a case, Darren, is it, that funding needs to come from the government to support you?
Yeah, our county board, our sponsors, I don't think that's the way it's going to be resolved. They're doing loads for us, but we do need government funding to support this and bring it ladies football to a new level. And as I said, make it more attractive for girls. Like, if you think of it, it's kind of a basic, really. You know, if you're going anywhere, you need to put petrol into your car, not to mind my drive 2 hours, 40 minutes to play football. And that's one way. Like, so I do think that's the major one we need to close the gap on. Because, as I said, we've closed the gap in so many other areas, but that's the standout one.
And one of the stark things about it as well is that you're speaking from the standpoint of Cork, one of the most successful teams in recent years. Like, I'm not sure, do you speak to players from other counties, maybe players that aren't dining at the top table of the All-Ireland Championship, but maybe even within their own county boards, they're not getting the support as well, which would just compound the lack of government support.
That's it, yeah. like ourselves, Cork, we're lucky enough to be and have been successful over the last couple of years. So we're getting stuff that other county teams aren't getting. Like I know, I was talking to girls from Kerry. They hadn't got new, say, for example, new gear in 3 or 4 years, you know. They weren't getting hot meals after training. I think that has changed, but I know that we're on the top scale of things, which is kind of frightening to think, to be honest. Like our nutritionist this year is Johnny Holland, and he's seeing it from both sides. He's the nutritionist from the on the Cork men's team, and he's now the nutritionist for the Cork ladies team. So it's interesting to see his perspective. You know, we're getting stuff now like protein and vitamin D and stuff, and he's just kind of surprised, I suppose, that we haven't been getting that all along. So it's interesting to see his perspective and to think that we're actually the lucky ones in terms of ladies football. I think probably ourselves, Dublin, Mayo are lucky enough to have the get the top tier stuff, but the likes of, you know, maybe a Division 4 team mightn't be as lucky as we are. So there's not only a gap between men and women, there's a gap within our own sport as well.
What was nutrition like before he came in then, if there was no protein or no vitamin D? Because obviously that seems like a rite of passage almost for every young lad who's 16 years of age at this stage almost.
Yeah, you don't bulk up or you don't get big now unless you have protein. So yeah, look, nutrition wasn't bad. We were getting hot meals after training. We did have a nutritionist with us before. So we'd have little workshops, little kind of seminars, I suppose, PowerPoints put together about what to eat pre, post training, how to fuel your body, and what worked best for you mightn't work well for other people. So it was kind of individual plans as well. But I suppose we have just taken it up a bit of a notch this year, and we've definitely put more money towards nutrition and getting those things that we wouldn't have had in previous years.
Yeah, so it's just really desperate, honestly, like that we've been having this with you having this specific conversation, almost a repeat of it from 2 years ago, and you just hope upon hope. Like, I mean, it seems like I don't know what sort of a hope it feels like, given that people are using a lot of the right words with great regularity, and you just really want to see the action, I suppose, at this stage. So we'll keep watching, briefing it, and keep asking the questions about it as well. The league obviously is back in a couple of weeks. You mentioned there yourself, back in training. It's Tipperary in 3 weeks, and then the Dubs the week after. So how's it been back in training and getting used to all that again?
Yeah, it's been brilliant, to be honest. We went back last week. I suppose the major thing was we, touch wood, had a successful week back in terms of injuries. You'd just be scared that we'd be trying to play catch up and that a spike in load might result in injuries. But we've been very fortunate now. Our management team were super, I suppose, aware of that and kind of eased us back into it. We're playing an AVB now this weekend, so that's something to look forward to, our first kind of match in 2021. I don't know, will we make it to half time, but it's good just to be back to see the girls, and to have that social interaction is a huge part of football and a huge part of why I play. I've made some unbelievable friends over the years, and just to be back having the crack at training. I think the first night we actually kind of got roared at and stuff, just to shut up and stop talking. Like we were all just delighted to see each other. And I suppose then we're hugely competitive people. So getting that kind of aggression back into it and not having to kind of force yourself to throw on the boots. You now have a structure to your week, your training Wednesday, Friday, Sunday, and you prepare accordingly. So yeah, it's really exciting to be back, and we're really lucky to be back.
Have you been able to do anything at all over the last few months, or has it just been a case of sort of keeping in contact in the WhatsApp groups, or like, has there been a bit of, I've just figured out a way that we can beat the Dubs, like, is there any, so have you been able to plan at all?
I suppose our management team have used the time really well. We've done a lot, we've done as much as we can given the circumstances. video analysis, one-on-one meetings, you know, psychology talks, nutrition talks. So we have done, but to be honest now, we're absolutely sick of Zoom. And I also live with my strength and conditioning coach, and I live with another girl on the team. So I was lucky and unlucky, I suppose, in that way. I got away with nothing. but she, it was good because, like, there was days there you know, more wanted to put on the boots. So, you know, she was kind of watching our every move. So we went out to the farm out in Corraheen, and we did our running out there and stuff. But I was lucky to be in those circumstances. A lot of girls had to do it by themselves, which is lonely, and it does get monotonous and boring enough. But other than football now, I wasn't up to much. Back to school 6 weeks now, I think. So that's good. Get out of the house for a few hours every day.
Yeah, we can all suddenly empathise with those, even those among us that are not elite athletes, sir. We can all empathise with that that spirit. The Dubs position, obviously, in the going for the five, is that help focus minds in a way at this time of the year? Like, does that even come up as a discussion point? Or how are you, you're not going into that detail yet in terms of how you're going to get past them, but does that help focus you at this stage?
It does. Look, Dublin are at the top, and we're chasing them. I started off my football career with Cork, and we were on the top, and it was Dublin and Monaghan, Kerry, who were chasing us. So it's kind of exciting to be at the other side of it, in that we're so close, and it's small margins that will get us over the line. And I've no doubt we are going to get over the line. We've a hugely talented team. We've an extremely hard working back, our management team behind us. We're all rowing and together and in the right direction. But yeah, look, Dublin are the top team at the moment, and it's up to us to close the gap and to catch them. They're at the top, I suppose, of the mountain. If you want, we're climbing it. Last year we were very close. We had a brilliant first half in Croke Park and kind of went back into ourselves a small bit in the second half. Dublin got louder and built in confidence, and we were disappointed, I suppose, with how we reacted with that. We got a small bit quiet and nearly paid them too much respect in the second half. We let them play, which was disappointing, but I think we have learnt an awful lot from that match. It was my first time ever watching back an All-Ireland final. I've never done it before. Any All-Ireland final we've lost, I've never watched it back, club or county, which is extremely immature, but I just hate it. But this year it was the first time we watched it back as a team, and we did learn an awful lot from it. The saying you learn more from loss than you do victory is very true. So hopefully we can implement that this year and improve.
Just a couple of things there. When you said they were getting louder and louder, is that a literal thing, as in like the volume, their shouting was getting louder?
Yeah, literal thing. So we would always have a big emphasis on voice pressure. And it's true, if you're going through and someone's roaring at you, or they're telling you that they're coming out and they have you, like, it is actually a form of pressure on you. So I just found in the first half we were extremely loud. Whether things were going well or someone did well, you were roaring them on, or you were roaring encouragement. And like, we were our crowd that day. We didn't have, you know, spectators in Croke Park. So we put a big emphasis on vocal pressure and trying to be as loud as we could, because it does come hand in hand. If you're loud, you're vocal, you're actually playing yourself into the game, and you're helping the girls around you as well. We had a rule that you talk to the girl to your right, left, in front and behind. They were your four and you minded your area. And I just found as soon as Dublin got that goal, we went very quiet, and Dublin did literally get louder and louder. And I don't know, it just seemed like we got a small bit scared and sat back a small bit, which is disappointing. But I do think it's not an excuse, but we are a very young team. And I think a bit of experience there, just to steady the ship, would have stood to us a lot that day. But everyone has another year now under their belt, so hopefully we can learn from that.
And then on the decision to watch the game back, I presume that was just management saying, we have to do this, we have to take some sort of learnings. But like, are you on a Zoom call watching it together? Do you do it in your own time? And what are the feelings?
Yeah, no, we had to watch it back. It wasn't an option. So if it was an option, to be honest, I wouldn't have watched it back. It just... In terms of 2021, I know that, or 2020, there was a lot of negatives from the year, but that was right up there for me. It was one of the worst days. It's not something you want to remember. So I wouldn't have watched it back if it was my choice. But yeah, we were sent the video link. It was divided up then into different clips, like attacking, defense, tackling, missed tackles, wides, kickouts, or offensive kickouts and defensive kickouts. So it's broken down, like the detail it's gone into is incredible. And then you're looking at your stats from GPS, and it's no surprise everyone's stats were down from the Galway game. Everyone's stats were you know, pretty impressive in the first half, and distance, acceleration, deceleration, power plays, everything was down in the second half. And it's just frustrating because to kind of let yourself down, I suppose, on the biggest day of the calendar year in ladies football is not what you set out for in January. So it's a tough pill to swallow, but you look, as I said, we did learn a lot from it. And how you remember stuff and how things actually played out are two different things. Like, some girls might have come away and thought they had a great game, and vice versa. Like, some girls thought they were shocking, and it mightn't have panned out like that, you know. So I do think it's important. And maybe I'm maturing a small bit in that I can say I've watched back in All Ireland now.
Yeah. Well, after 9 years, we all pick up something during, you know, that's the thing. And I'm plenty more years ahead. Listen, really brilliant catching up with you. Thanks a million for joining us. It's all part of different backgrounds, one association with Dern, Paul Ganey from Kerry, Dan Morrissey from Limerick, and Sarah Dervin from Galway, all part of the GPA's Return to Play event to mark the first season. We're all senior inter-county players, are part of the One Player Association following that merger of the GPA and WGPA back in December. Dern, thanks a million for joining us.
Thanks very much for having me.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.